Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the glorious and handsome and all-around good guy, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I just want
you to know, Ronnie, I will never round up everyone to chase you off of this show, no
That's
matter
so
what
sweet.
Happens. Yes. You get to stay. I will continue to shoot with you.
Thank you, my spicy little Asian.
Thank you. We are talking about Real Housewives of Orange County. The internet is losing its shit. They've gone crazy. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to get into all of it. Just a reminder, we've got Crappy Hour on Monday. Come join us for that. Haven't seen the latest. We are kind of doing this thing where we alternate one Monday Crappy Hour, one Monday Amazon Live, and it's really fun. So Crappy Hour is at 5:30 Eastern. I'm sorry, Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. And then, of course, join us on Patreon. Get access to our bonus episodes. We had so much fun doing a trailer trash of the Potomac trailer. I think we was that like over an hour, Ronnie? I think it was like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it was long. Dissected that.
It was long.
A 2-minute trailer. We spent an hour and 10 minutes talking about it and dissecting it. So definitely go check that out on Patreon. And you also get access to our videos with Crappens on Demand. Hello, everyone out there. And if you don't want to watch our videos on Patreon, after a week or so, they go onto YouTube. But you probably want to watch them fresh. So they're right there. Patreon. That's the news. And now we are going to talk about Orange County. And I've got to say, Ronnie, people are mad at this season as these dumb hookers' fault. Okay. Everyone's saying the season's so toxic. We're getting an audience reaction like we got for New Jersey. And first of all, I want to say, audience, be careful, because I know we're all annoyed at this Katie situation, but like overall, I actually think that Orange County is in a really good place. I think it's like a really good cast, and like, let's not spook Bravo into doing too many things. However, if this is a quote unquote toxic situation that Bravo's like, we gotta like shuffle some people out, I think, is this finally going to be the thing that gets us Gina and Emily out the door? Because
no.
I think they'll never go. They're not going to go.
They're not
right?
going to go. Because, no, they're going to keep them.
Yeah. I think that if heads roll because of the season, if like the perception is that things are too toxic, and Bravo feels like they've got to make some wholesale changes, I think they did it to themselves. They did it to themselves. It's one thing. Okay. Katie's a liar. Katie obviously lied. Okay. But the fact that they're crucifying her for it, and they won't even shoot with her to the point where she has to leave the show. And then that's the toxicity right there. And you guys are going to do it to yourselves. You're trying to shoot Katie off. And now some of you guys may lose your jobs as a result of it. Congratulations, you idiots.
Well, they're all lying. Gretchen lies in this episode. I mean, Katie's lies aren't worse than theirs. And I believe Katie when she said that Gretchen and Slade said that. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, there's so many lies in it. It's really hard to keep them all straight. There was literally a point last night where I just grabbed my head and said, what are we even talking about at this point? It's like, she said this and you said this and 12 years ago you said this, but then they're showing a timestamp of 12 years ago, but then it's 13 years ago. And Tamara's like, but remember when I sat down with Slade and I apologized? And I was like, yeah, but that was a year before this other clip where you were saying mean things. I mean, it's just my timeline. I'm exploding. My head is exploding. Mm-hmm. It's too much, but I'm enjoying it.
It is too much.
Still enjoying it. You know what? I got to say.
Yeah.
Also, I have to ask you a question that has nothing to do with Orange County. I'm sorry, everybody, to derail a recap so quick.
Go ahead.
Should I befriend the baby bobcat that's living outside? Because I really want to be friends. I want to be a
baby
so
bobcat is living outside.
There's a bobcat kitten. Is that what you call them? Kittens?
Where?
I saw it yesterday for the first time. I was playing piano in the window and there was a little baby. Well, I thought it was, I thought it was a lion. It looks like a lion. It's like a little baby and it has spots on it. It's like obviously a wild cat.
Pictures of it.
I tried to, but it got away. I was so shocked to see it. Well, first I thought it was a mountain lion, but those don't have spots. So the only other option is bobcats. And I didn't even know we had bobcats here until we went to Ann Margaret's house. And she had a sign that says bobcat crossing. And I was like, we have bobcats? And so I looked up, do bobcats have spots? And they do. And they live in the hills. So I have a baby bobcat. But then that means there's other babies and possibly a mom protecting the baby. But
and it's not, it's just not a kitten.
No, it's not a cat. It's like a wildcat.
I would not. So I would not, personally, I would not befriend it because if there is a mama, mama may come calling. And I think we don't go near that. Also, I think it's a wild animal. So I don't think you should befriend it.
But it's so cute.
Let nature take its course. It, well, get a kitten then. I just don't.
Those are in my house. I want this one outside the house. I want to be like Monique from Real
Housewives.
No, I
think enjoy it from outside.
Have you seen Monique from Real Housewives of Potomac? She's been walking around with these little baby hummingbirds that keep coming to her and coming right to her hands and stuff. She's like magic.
Wow, that's my dream.
I want to be like that, but with baby bobcats.
We have hummingbirds on our patio. We have a little hummingbird feeder. And I've seen people do that. And I would love, I don't know how you do that. Maybe you need to have essential oils or something. They don't come to our hands. Well, also like we have, there's like a bunch of green hummingbirds, which are sweet and lovely. But then there's this one big orange one who I've named Gil. And he just comes and he always scares everyone away. He's like very territorial about the feeder. And I'm like, that's such a Gil thing. Like he's the guy in the office who just like walks into the break room and everyone has to scatter. And so Gil ruins everything. So I think any chance I would ever have of like befriending a hummingbird, Gil ruins.
Well, but if I made friends with the bobcat could eat Gil, you see? And then you'd be have hummingbirds and I'd have a killer bobcat on my side.
You're not bringing the bobcat over to our patio to kill Gil. Okay. I don't like Gil, but I will protect Gil.
I'm not protecting fucking Gil. Fuck Gil. Okay.
You should take a picture of your bobcat next time you see it. Have you seen it more than once?
I tried to. No, I just saw it yesterday. It was just like like walking around the hill and I was so shocked to see it. And of course I was like, hi, you know, I was like talking to it and it wouldn't turn around because the window was closed. But I tried to get a picture, but I just got a picture of the bush. So anyway, the point is we're at Real Housewives of Orange County, season 19, episode 9. Which is also kind of known as befriending the bobcat because everybody decides to be nice to Tamara again, which I don't really get. But here we go.
Here we go. So we start off and we see like the recap of all the crazy stuff from last week and Katie being like, Kendall, I'm done. I didn't lie. I never said this. Oh, did you see the conspiracy theory from today about Katie?
And what is it?
Okay. This one. Honestly, I think this is ridiculous. So Katie, the new conspiracy theory is that there's some account out there that's saying that this is somehow Sheena's fault, which.
Yes. I did see that. Yes.
This is my favorite conspiracy theory. And I think it is 100% not true.
I think it's pretty 100%. Funny though.
Cause Katie is doubling down. Katie clearly told Kiki. Okay, like Kiki has said it. I believe Kiki on this. I don't think Kiki, like, I just don't think this is, I don't see why Kiki would cover for Sheena if she heard it from Sheena. But the theory is that Sheena and Gretchen are really, really good friends. And it was Sheena who told Kiki that, that Gretchen said that she was roofied. And Kiki is saying it came from Katie. I don't think Kiki has any motivation to set up Katie in that way. It's too far-fetched. Okay. I am on Katie's team, but like Katie is messy. She has had a history of lying throughout the season and she just didn't do it well. And I don't know. The Sheena theory, it's entertaining, but I just do not believe it at all.
Well, yeah, because even if she did tell Sheena and Sheena told whoever, she still told Kiki, right? Like, we know that she admitted that she went and hung out with Kiki and told her stuff. So I don't know.
But, like, the theory is that, like, Katie's not the one who said it. It was that maybe Kiki got the, I guess maybe Katie's saying like, I told her about the hospital thing, but I never said roofie. And maybe she knows one who said roofie, but either way, why are we also discrediting the messy Daily Mail reporter who got in the middle of all of this, who's somehow not in any of the, like, not in any of the online discussion, even though it was outed by Tamara.
Well, and then Tamara said the reason that she came out with it on the show was because the Kiki told the Daily Mail and the Daily Mail told Dave Quinn and Dave Quinn called Tamara. So that's kind of the chain that they're setting up. But at this point, like, who believes anybody on this show? I really don't. At this point, I'm just trying to calm down and enjoy the show because it's too much.
It's outrageous that this stupid, like, daisy chain of gossip is something that's going to get someone, like, kicked off the show. Like, that's what's the true outrage of it, because this is also stupid. And it's also very par for the course of, like, lies and rumors that go around. And like, this is going to be like, you're going to drive someone off the show because of this, when there's been like so much lying over the years. There've been so many worse offenses over the years. And this is what you're all going to rally around and say, I don't feel safe shooting but also, this woman.
Let's concentrate on the real evil here. If we're going to go back all the 13 years to Naked Wasted, that was when they went out of their way to get Gretchen as drunk as possible, to have Ryan follow her into the room. Ryan was pouring those drinks too. And then have Ryan follow her into the bathroom and try and have sex with her. And it took him a long time to take the no as well. So that's kind of the crime here. And the fact that Tamara has wormed it into her now being a hero of the season, because it's so funny how this show works. So you've got Tamara, who is the one who brought this on camera. No matter what you say about everybody else and who they told and who they gossiped with and who they did this to and who they blah, 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 it was never brought up on the show. The one who brought it to the show was Tamara. Okay.
Yes.
Tamara was the one who did it. So then it got Katie villainized, and then it got Gretchen villainized. And now it's turned around to Tamara becoming friends with Katie, who's now the most popular person on the show because of all the bullying. And now that is leaking off on Tamara. So now Tamara and Katie are looking like heroes in this whole thing. And who started this whole thing in the first place? Fucking Tamara did. And the way that she's wormed this around to making herself kind of a hero now in the comment sections of this show is just fucking hilarious and somewhat magical. Like, I mean,
it's because you got two dum-dums.
It's crazy.
It's because you got two dum-dums in the mix, Emily and Gina, who have like, they're on this righteous campaign and it's blown up in their faces, because honestly, I don't.
Although Heather's been good about not letting it blow up in her face, but Heather's way behind this too.
Heather is not like Katie since last year when Katie came for her. And you know, Heather's like, well, you know, I don't know if Heather would have been like, I'm not going to shoot with her, but Emily and Gina are on the righteous campaign. They're the ones who seem to be on a righteous line. And Shannon too, but Shannon's also like, that's just Shannon. No one really ever takes Shannon's righteousness seriously, but Emily and Gina, I feel like, are really aggressively against Katie, despite anytime Gina's like, I really can't for you. I was like really trying to make it happen. And I was like really trying to give you a shot. It's like, no, you really weren't. You can say that you weren't. And if anything, if you have to blame one person, I really blame Emily. I think Emily has gone above and beyond. She arranged an entire polygraph party just to bust this girl. And it's, I don't know what my point was. I think I'm just ranting. I'm just going for it. You know, Emily's stupid. That's the conclusion from today's episode.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we start in Emily's living room, and they're still talking about the lie detector. This is flashbacks from last week. She's like, she failed every single question. And Bangs, the examiner Bangs, is like, yeah, your body reacts to questions in a different way when you're lying. Yeah, we get it. You're also a paid actress, and we know. Very poorly paid, I would assume, Bangs. Shut up over there. And also, you're a bad actress because no lie detector is like, that lady's lying her ass off. You are. Yeah. Shame on you. Well, I hope you are being shamed in the lie detector community that you're not even a part of, really.
I hope you go from the polygraph community to the monograph community, because it's just going to be one of you.
Bangs. We'll hear it
from Polybanks. I know people would be very interested in us actually starting this recap, but guess what? I've got something else to say, which is that in the wake of all this, there was a lot of discussion about how polygraphs, like a proper polygraph, takes like 2.5 hours. And like, you're just not going to get anything realistic from like the short polygraph. I don't know how long they were up there, but it definitely looked like people were up there for 20 minutes maybe. And like you can do a targeted polygraph that's like about a very specific narrow range of questions, but even that's going to take a while.
But even so, with all of that, we know that it's bullshit from what we've seen on the show, without even knowing that this guy's been on a million shows, rents out his services, blah, blah, blah. Everything that is brought up later in the show by Katie, we know for a fact that it's bullshit because we saw Gretchen lie in it. And no one even cares. Like, Gretchen lied in it and she passed the test. So we know that the test is full of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Even disregarding everything we know about the current justice system, where these are not even admissible in a court of law because they're full of shit. And Emily, who's working for the Innocence Project, trying to get innocent people out of prison, still like sitting there, you know, waving the flag for a polygraph is ridiculous.
Right. So, people were talking about that online, that like polygraphs are known to like really not be reliable and are often used, you know, against people. And if you're on, and yet she's like, she should know this as someone who's an advocate for the Innocence Project. That's like a big thing that people were talking about.
Yeah. So, Tamara's like,
well, and you wanted, I thought you did say that you went to the hospital, Gretchen. Maybe when we were in the car, we were driving to see crocodiles or something. I think you said that you went to the hospital or something. Don't you remember?
She's like, no. And then we see the flashback where Gretchen says in the back of that car,
well, the next day, yes, I did go to the hospital,
trying to whisper it behind the seat. And she's like,
because I was so sick.
And she's like, no, I said that I was sick. I should have gone to the hospital. That's what I said. And Shannon's like, oh, well, that doesn't mean that you were roofied if you went to the hospital. I mean, I go to the hospital. I mean, it doesn't mean I've been, have I been roofied? Maybe I have been roofied. I don't know. A roofie's good.
So, after we get the after we're done with like the flashbacks of what happened last week, we then land in a really exciting scene, which is Emily and Gretchen getting testosterone injections. So they're here at this at a Sandra MD, and Emily's like, "This is the appointment that Shane always has on the calendar. Like, don't forget your testosterone appointment, huh? Because I've been getting testosterone implants, so it's like this rice-sized thing that they stick in your butt and like not in your butthole. Huh? Let me clarify." I'm hilarious, and it just makes a world of difference. My workouts are better, and I want to have sex with Shane.
Oh, my God. What are they putting up there? Fucking Molly? Like, what kind of drug do they need to put inside of you to want to have sex with Shane? I get the Bio-T, which is what they're talking about, these little testosterone pills. I just got mine last week.
That's why I'm talking like this week. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah. So I get those twice a year. I just got mine last week, and I can guarantee you right now, I do not want to have sex with Shane. Okay? So I don't know what kind of magic pill they're putting up her ass, but nothing is that strong.
Yeah. So then, and then Gretchen is talking about how she's like,
yeah, testosterone is great because all you want to do is like have sex all day long.
And then she's like talking about how, then we see a flashback of how she broke Slade's penis because, she wanted to have sex too much. But then she also explains that there is a machine that will straighten the penis after it is bent. So like, really, it's just so many medical miracles, that we learn about on this show.
I didn't even know all this stuff could happen to wieners, that you could break them.
I did know about this.
You did know about broken wieners?
My friend was dating a guy with a broken penis, and it was an issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you like about that, like you could get it like, because it could like, yeah, because it's like when stiff, it could kind of get kind of like, think about like a straw. You know, if you like you break a straw, it's, or like, you know, or like a piece of straw.
Oh my God. All the turtles have just washed up with penises sticking out all over their face. They're like, stop penises. I mean, stop penises. They're killing the turtles. You don't make me think about straws. I'm still upset.
Yeah. So, but you can fix it. You can fix it. And that's great to know. So Slade is back up and running.
How can you fix a broken wiener? But I've had the same stuff for 2 months and had surgery on it. I mean, the world is just not fair, really. I'm going to go get a penis put in my eye. Who's going to have a penis sticking out of my eye?
Yeah. Because when it comes to men's sexual health or just health in general, there will be a priority to fund research on that. Don't you worry.
Like, who needs your eyes? Let's get his penis working. Okay.
So, do you know how many broken penises there probably are in Congress right now? They have fast-tracked all the research on that.
Who needs your eye? You can just feel around with your penis, okay? So, yeah, we get to hear about Slade's broken wiener. And then Gretchen still is talking about his wiener. I do not want to hear about Slade or Shane and their sex. I just don't want to hear about it.
So don't need to know.
Emily's like, so after my person New Year party, I hope that Katie's gone. You're such a monster for making a Persian New Year party such a trash event. Shame on you, especially with your father-in-law in the hospital. And you're supposed to be celebrating Persian. Would your Persian father-in-law be happy that you're using this to ostracize my spicy Asian? How dare
you? That's right. Yeah, no, it is pretty shitty. I don't know enough about Persian New Year to know like what it symbolizes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like, it seems like across the board, most cultures, New Year's are like, let's celebrate coming together, moving forward, opening new chapters, yada, yada. I don't think most New Year's celebrations are like, how can we run someone off of our TV show? But that's what she used it for. Although I guess we should maybe circle back to Shaw's The Sunset because they had some pretty toxic moments.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Gretchen is like,
yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to be around if she's around.
And Emily's like, yeah, in the end, like you and Tamara had like a long hug. So remember, which by the way, I love Gretchen. Okay. Being around Tamara, but God forbid, Katie says this thing to Kiki Monique about a passing comment about something that happened 14 years ago. You will not film whatsoever. That's where she draws the line. Come on, give me a break. Give me a break, Gretchen.
So we see a clip of this long hug, and Tamara is saying,
thank you so much, Gretchen, for taking the time and going to meet with Kiki. She's like, yeah, well, I needed to because I needed to know for myself. Well, thank you for getting to the bottom of it, Gretchen. Come here, give me a hug, my little friend. I'm so glad we're friend now. I'm so sorry you were dragged into this, you know, after I, you know, got you wasted and had my son follow you into the bathroom, and then I had my try to have sex with you and stuff for fun so you could look like the cheating slut that you are. thank you for the vindication, Gretchen.
Well, that was like very interesting that she was like, thank you for like going and finding out the truth. And like, I appreciate that she's saying that. But I was also like, this wasn't even for you. This was for me.
Yeah. So right. Gretchen is saying again something she said about 9 million times over the years.
I'm cautiously optimistic that the hug was sincere and that we can maybe, you know, like, you know, I don't know. I just hope I could trust it. However,
then we're back in the waiting room and she's like, you know, I want to ask Katie if she even feels remorse. And Emily's like, here's what we need to do. We need to do a beach party. Then we see a flashback to Jen saying, guys, thank you so much for answering my call. I just have a great idea. I want to have a party in a public place, a beach or something that I'm have to, you know, cook or clean or cater. Or, I don't know. I was hoping it's between a parking lot and a beach, but I don't want to have a party in the same location that my gym was located. So beach it is.
I love this innovative idea for Real Housewives of Orange County doing something on the beach. They've never really done that before. So Emily is like, can we get a handle where her mind's at right now and put it all out there and just like try to reconcile that? Because I just would love for Tamara and Gretchen to just have a conversation, or I don't care, go in a boxing ring and beat the shit out of each other. I mean, I just feel like there's like all these grievances from 12 years ago that we keep on reliving. And can we just like hop to 2025, please? Grievances from 12 years ago. You're the one who has been rolling around in the grievances like a pig in mud. You know, like what was this whole Katie thing about in the first place?
You're married to your grievance from 12 years ago. Shut up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Back to the waiting room. You're married to Shane, for crying out loud. So we go back to the waiting room again, and it's time to get their rice in their butts, their little rice sized pellets. So I mean that's really it. They get their injections in there.
Yeah, then we go injections.
Yeah, so then we go to Oslo Coffee Company. And Jen's there, and now it's a big meeting with Katie and Jen. Dun, dun, dun. And I just want to say, all I could concentrate on was the giant muffin sitting in the middle of the table that no one was going to touch. And I just knew it was happening. And I was like, look how much that muffin has put into its look today. It looks so delicious.
Yeah.
It's been in glam for like hours. It was prepped. I mean, multiple people worked on this muffin, and these ladies are just going to treat it with total disregard.
It's almost as bad as last season when Gina and Jen had a sit down in a coffee shop and Gina ordered the world's largest croissant and didn't even bite it. And then she stormed out without even having her croissant. I was so mad for months after that.
Disgusting behavior. Gina. It really
disgusting.
Is. Disgusting. Carbs so don't Katie deserve Jen, this from you people. Carbs deserve respect, you know?
They certainly do. So Katie and Jen sit down. Very serious. And Jen, Katie puts down her purse and Jen's like, oh, I literally thought you like walked up with like receipts or something. And Kitty's like, oh, I have them. I have some very, very strong receipts that will fully exonerate me 100%. Just brace yourself for what I've got coming to you. Just get ready. It's like, okay, great. I'd love to see it. So Katie pulls out her envelope and she's like, well, this is just so hard. I mean, you know, I've had so many conversations about our lives. Oh, Jen's saying that. She's saying, we just had so many conversations about our lives. About past, about the future, about Ryan's paint splattered denim jackets. Just so many thoughts about that stuff. I just feel like, what am I missing? And then I sit here after a stupid fucking lie detector test and I'm like, did you even pass any? Like, what am I missing? Jen asking what she's missed is hilarious because, to be fair, I think she asks that after every conversation she has with every single person she has in her entire life.
Yeah, it reminds me of that Golden Girls where Betty White said, what I miss? And Dorothy says, just the boat, dear. So Jen's like, yeah, Katie's been such a loyal friend to me. You know, such a good friend. But now I look at all those conversations and I think, were those all lies too? What do you mean, were they all lies? When she sat there listening to you sob about your ex or sob about your current or sob about your children, or how are those lies? Stop being a follower, Jen. So back at the and Jen's having a real meltdown on social media these days. Yikes.
I heard that she's having a meltdown. What's going on with her? I haven't actually looked into it.
She is basically commenting like, you know what? If you guys, how about instead of hating me, you just go over to Katie's page and you send her love because I'm so sick of this race crap. I can't even. This is ridiculous. This isn't even about race. She's just like, just stay off social media, Jen. You're making this worse for yourself. Okay.
No.
Coming on and being like, I'm sick of this race crap. Not great, Jen. All right. Wow. So, which we'll go into more of that on Crappy Hour. I'll bring the videos and stuff. So, Katie's like, do you want to see something? I have it in a manila envelope. And she's like, oh, no, I don't eat anything with vanilla in it, including that muffin. Please do not make me read the muffin. She's like, no, it's manila. It's kind of an envelope. So did you know that the guy they hired is a paid actor? And she pulls out a piece of paper and she's like, this is Wendy. Who works for him. This is all on his website, by the way. He tells you all these different things that you can book him for, and some he can do simple acting. What do you think about that? Well, Heather Dubrow does very simple acting, and she's had a job here for years. I don't know if we're allowed to hold that against people.
What is simple acting? What is it's just like, is that basically like you go on to TV and then they give you lines on what you're supposed to say to the people? And then I don't know what simple acting is. I could do simple acting.
It just means like I can do lie detectors or I can act like I'm doing lie detectors, whatever you need me to do.
He's like, I cannot do Chekhov, but if you need me to read some lines from, you know, like Empty Nest, I can do that.
He's like, yeah, I'll give you a couple of lines from Different Strokes, but nothing from like Sam. Why can't I think of his
name? Sam, I know you're talking about Shepherd. If you need Sam Shepherd. He's like, if you need me to be in your infomercial audience and reacting to a product, I can do that. If you need me to do Tennessee Williams, I cannot do that.
He's like, do you want me to pretend I'm driving a car? Great. Sit me in a fake car and I'll drive it. Do you want me to improvise driving a car? That is much more difficult. I don't do that. It's difficult acting. Do not do my own stunts. So
I like the idea that, like, the implication that, like, maybe he's been accidentally called in to an audition for, like, Fences, and he's like, unfortunately, I can be in an infomercial about Fences, but I can't be in Fences.
Yeah, I mean simpler acting. Yeah, I'm from the school.
Like, someone saw him and was like, get this guy in. We need him in our place. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just not qualified for your production.
Very difficult. Like, sir, will you be an extra in Avatar? He's like, that is a lot of makeup. That is difficult acting. Okay. I need simple.
That's acting. Crossing a line. It's crossing. I have to speak with my union representative. I'm in a SAG, which is simple SAG. I'm in simple SAG AFTRA. This may violate our union's rules.
So Katie tells her, yeah, this guy's an actor and he can do simple acting. And Jin goes, okay, you know what? This is fucked up. Okay, is it fucked up that she's telling you this? Or is it fucked up that they just hired an actor to do the part? Like, what are you mad about? Do you even know what you're mad about, Jin? Jin just came in here ready to be pissed.
She was about to offer him a role in an Edward Albee play. This is fucked up. I didn't know he was a simple actor. I thought he was a regular actor. This is really fucked up.
Well, I think I was set up by Gina and Emily. Did you notice every single question was a setup? And she goes, no. I mean, every question was a question to see if you were lying, you know? I think that's the point.
Never ask Jen if she noticed something, okay? Don't ask Jen that question. There's only one answer to it. No, I didn't notice that. So, yeah, we see that they are all, I mean, all the questions are, you know, we see this flashback of Emily saying, everyone ask a question that you want to know about each woman. And what we're going to do is take a lie detector test and nobody has to do this if they don't want to. So, Jen's like, well, I mean, I can't take this evidence back to the women. They're going to think it's preposterous. Kitty's like, well, if you don't believe me, that's okay. And to be fair, I just don't think this is strong enough. This is to say, it's too conspiratorial to say these are actors and Emily paid them to recite these lines. It's just not going to, even if it were true, it's not going to convince these dum-dums.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a setup to me. I would just have, I mean, I say get the men involved at this point because Matt was there, Ryan was there, and Slade was there. So I say get them involved because Matt's sitting there also insisting that he heard it multiple times. And then we have all the calls from Slade. So I say it's time to just bring everybody in and get the truth out.
And note, by the way, this is jumping forward a little bit, but, you know, people were taking screenshots of, there's a scene that we're going to get to very shortly about how Matt's reading text from Slade, and all of Slade's text messages are blurred out. So does that mean that Slade did not give, like, Bravo the authority to show the clearance to show his texts? Which,
I don't know. Why would you have to give clearance if you've already given clearance that you're going to be on the show? Do they need clearance to show your text too?
I don't know, but I think that's fishy. I think that's fishy.
Yeah, that is.
I think if it would be exonerating, I think
probably because they were talking about production, because Matt said in an interview that he did this week, he went on Stu's podcast and he was saying that Slade said, hey, you know, you better watch your wife because she's saying all this shit and production is pissed. They don't want this stuff coming back up again. And that's why Gretchen and Slade are lying about it, because they don't want to get in trouble with production by bringing up Naked Wasted again, because they want to pretend that never happened.
That's why we blurred out.
Yeah, yep. So Slade is calling him, telling him, you know,
this goes all
production's
the
pissed, and I've got Alex Baskin on the other line right now, and he's extremely pissed off about this. So you keep your wife in line and tell her to lie about it.
Which is exactly what we predicted, was that it was not so much that Gretchen was afraid of lawsuits. It was that Gretchen was afraid of the wrath of Alex Baskin and Bravo.
Yeah.
But that would make sense. Okay, so that makes sense why it'd be blurred out, because production actually does not want to show that. They don't want to break the fourth wall that much.
Well, they don't want to make themselves look terrible. So then we see Jen's like, well, I'm trying to believe you. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you. And so we see flashbacks of these questions. And then Katie's like, well, Gretchen told us the story about Naked Wasted. And then she said, the next morning I went to the hospital, they did a toxicology report, and they found something in my blood. She said that, and I will die on that. She goes, no, she said she felt like she needed to go to the hospital. She's like, well, that's how she's twisting it. Jen, come on. I actually believe Katie here. I believe her.
I believe Katie, I believe that this is an honest misunderstanding with Jen. I believe there is room for the idea that Jen is not remembering at all. I cannot tell you how many little gaps in stories I don't remember anymore. Okay. Like, I would not be surprised if Jen was not fully paying attention. If Jen heard it, doesn't remember parts of it. And so her truth is that it was not said, but I don't know if that is the truth.
No,
I don't think she's lying. You think she's covering?
Oh, I think she's straight up lying. Yeah, because I think at the dinner they said it. And then when first of all, this is kind of Katie's fault for going and running and telling a blogger. She shouldn't have done that, right? If you're at a private dinner.
Yes, so, yes, Katie is totally culpable in this situation. I think ultimately
100%. Katie shouldn't have done that. But I think that because she did that, and Gretchen and Slade called the husband, Matt, and said, don't say anything about this because production is pissed. We need to toe the line and say that Gretchen never said it. Then obviously they said that to Jen too. And Jen is choosing to stay with production and Gretchen because Katie never should have run to a blogger in the first place. So I think in her mind, she's not doing the wrong thing because Katie never should have run and told stuff from dinner in the first place. So I think in her mind, Katie's still in the wrong because she went to the blogger. So she doesn't care. She doesn't see it as this big, huge lie. But yeah, I think that Gretchen and Slade said it. And I think Jen's lying because they agreed to lie. And Katie broke the pact by going to the blogger in the first place. So I think that's how she's reconciling it in her mind. She's like, again, she's trying to drag me into this drama. I didn't do this. She did this to herself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Jen could be lying. I guess it's more like I could also see a world where she just doesn't remember because it's Jen. Now, I will have to say, I'm just sort of like going back a few beats because I feel like getting mad at Gina and Emily again. And I just feel like it's I've gone 5 minutes without doing it and I need to do it again. So the sequence of events, Tamara says this thing. Gretchen denies that she ever said it. Katie denies that she ever told Kiki Monique that. So Katie does toe the line for a while. They're all towing the line. Tamara storms off. Right? Storms off. And it's pretty much dead at that point. Right? Like, at that point, Tamara's the bad guy. The people who resurrected it, remind me if I'm wrong, because guess what? I don't remember the full timeline, which is proof that people don't remember things. But after that, it was Emily and Gina who reached out to Kiki to get to the bottom of it, right? Oh, no, because Gina called the reputable journalist, right? Gina went and continued looking this up. So Gina is the one who also, I think there's blood on Gina's hands because this was done and it was dead and Katie was being good friends, but Gina was determined to get to the bottom of this. And like, to what end? The reason Gina why is because she's vindictive.
Because Gina, Emily, she's vindictive. And Heather hate Katie. Yeah. And they want to get her off. So
exactly. And I think that's also shitty, actually.
I mean, yeah, it is of course shitty, but you know, Katie is still lying. Is still saying that she didn't talk.
Katie is still lying, but Gina is the one who actually asked. I'm gonna just let me be mad at Gina, okay? Let me have a workaround here. Let me have a mental workaround. Gina contributed to the escalation of this, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because I personally think, really, at the end of the day, that Katie should not have said this to Kiki, but I also think that Katie, I know we talked about this last week, like what was the intentionality behind this? And maybe we should ask Kiki this. I would not be surprised if Katie brought this up because it was like, oh, well, this was the thing that happened, you know, 14 years ago. And like, isn't this funny? Isn't this crazy? Like, why would, it's shocking because Gretchen's coming on the show. And like, I mean, Tamara's been awful to Gretchen all these years. I mean, she even tried to like drug her all those years ago. Da, da, da. It's like a tiny thing that now gets brought back with such a huge outsized level of importance. And I think that Gina contributed to that because it could have been dead and Gina decided to keep sticking her nose in it and making it a whole thing. And then to the level where it becomes a polygraph. And now this woman's not even on the show anymore.
Yeah. So Katie's like, well, Jen, I sat there yesterday. I looked at you and you were like, don't look at me. And she goes, well, yeah, because I mean, you light fires and you just want to say Jen knows Jen was there. And like, you want to validate through me and Katie. And I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you know? And it took, you know, and she's basically saying, you can't keep dragging me into your fucking drama over and over and expecting me to fight your battles. Like, you started this shit. I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not doing it. Sorry. And so she felt like she was thrown under the bus by Katie. So then we see a flashback to the hot pot We see all these examples of Katie doing this basically to Gina, where she's like, well, or to Jen, where she's like, Gina, Jen heard it. And Jen's like, oh, I'm not going to fight your fights for you. Stop dragging me into this shit.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Jen, Jen's like sick of all this stuff. So Jen's like, you know, you hear things or you make things up. It doesn't validate it to be true because you throw my name into it. Stop doing that, please. And by the way, thank you so much for thinking of me in those moments. It's really an honor, but please stop doing it. So Katie is like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, you want blood? I don't know what to give you. I'm not lying. I am definitely not lying. I'm like, I don't know, Katie. I'm on your side. Don't get me wrong. But
well, I believe her about this. I believe her about this Slade and Gretchen thing. But Jen's like, well, I'm sitting here telling you it's messy around you and you have to take accountability. And she goes, but I take accountability for when I'm wrong, but I'm not on this. I'm not guilty. And Jen just says, well, that tells me everything I need to know. Goodbye. And so she's done with her. So,
yeah, I believe her with the Gretchen thing. I just want to clarify. It's more like, Jen has lied so much in the past. It's like, it's just hard. Like, she just keeps on saying, I'm not lying. It's like,
Katie,
you've really painted yourself with the Ronnie disease.
You're just going to call everybody. Just calling everybody. I'm like, Jen, Kyle is such a liar, you guys. Ronnie, that show's not even back on the air yet.
Okay. So Jen's like, I've been waiting for something to give me an answer. Like, where am I with this friendship? Like, why does this keep happening? She doesn't stand there and say, I've been fucking lying. Trust me when I tell you, I would have remembered if Tamara had drugged Gretchen and she went to the hospital. Katie lied to me the whole time. And that just doesn't work for me anymore. But like, I don't know. I don't know, Jen. I just feel like Jen is, I don't know what Jen wants.
Here's the thing that I think is confusing, because Jen's not the brightest bulb on the tree, but we haven't caught Jen in a lie yet, right? That I've seen on the show or that I can remember on the show. I don't think anyone's really caught Jen lying.
No, she's just not such her, a dummy. She's been around, like, Ryan is also no angel, right? Like, we sense that Ryan has been up to shifty business, and I think that Jen is, I don't know if she's always the best. I don't even know.
Well, I guess we have seen her lie, because she was having an affair with Ryan and she said that they weren't having an affair, and Tamara's like, but they were fucking in the parking lot, and she's like, but we were waited till the divorce came through. So I guess we have, but
you're having a conversation in the car.
Yeah. But I mean, things that we think are a lie, but I guess that, you know, that wouldn't be in the group. That wouldn't be group dynamic lying or whatever. That would be like private life lying. So I'm not sure if you would count that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're done. Katie's crying. Jen leaves, and Katie's like, you can go. God, the white girl names on this show. Like, seriously, I'm just getting.
I whipped myself up into such a frenzy about that Gina rant I had about 2 minutes ago that I really,
literally,
like, I've been short circuiting ever since. Like, I'm like, and then Jen said this, and I'm like, wait, what's my point? Why am I? I'm angry at everything for no reason. Jen, she picked up her coffee, and I'm like, Jen, you don't even know how to pick up coffee. Like, wait, no.
Look, I'm doing it too, and I don't even have rage today. It's just the utter brain melt of this show. It's like, she lied about this, but she didn't lie about that. And then that girl lied about this, but she may not be lying about this. And then Gretchen probably lied about that. Slate's definitely lying, but then Gretchen might not be lying. Maybe Gretchen didn't hear, but Tamara's lying, but she's not lying about that. It's just so much trying to keep who's lying and who's not lying. And then they're bringing in shit from 13 years ago. And it's a brain melting fucking episode. So basically Katie goes, okay, well, you should go. And she goes, okay, well, I mean, I guess keep me updated. And she goes, I mean, whatever the fuck that means. They just.
So now Gina goes over to.
At this point.
Right. So Gina goes over to Britt's house. Britt is Matt's wife or girlfriend or whatever. And they basically like fake Kelly Dodd. And Britt's like, I almost wore a jean dress today, which is exciting. And Gina's like, really? Oh my God, we would have been like 20s, which I think that would be my nightmare in life, is to find out that I was twinning with Gina.
No, like, kidding.
Oh no, I've got to burn my wardrobe.
They are kind of 20s though, because did you notice the word art? when the
yes
they showed a close-up of Word Art, and I was like, I guess we're at Gina's house, but it turns out it was Britt's house. Does Matt only marry people with Word Art? Is it Matt's fetish at the end of the day?
He's got, he like, yeah, we he's need got like a Marshall's words. Kink.
Mm-hmm.
Words everywhere. He actually words is like very lost in a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't understand rooms, so he needs to have signs that say kitchen. And, things
and like I think this one was intense. It was like, bless this home, the home of mac and cheese, the home of children with smiles, flowers in the sunshine, toasters and toast. It's like, could you make a shorter Word Art? I don't have 9 hours to stand here before I walk into your home and read this. The fuck is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, let's relax, Shel Silverstein. Okay. So, so Britt's offers drinks and everything, like coffee and all that stuff. And, so Gina's saying like, my relationship with Britt is like amazing. Like, I really feel like we parent together and it like allows me to have like a career and chase dreams. So finally, at long last, because of Britt, I'm able to chase my dream of selling 2-bedroom houses to old people.
Finally, I'm living. Like, it's proof that we have like an amazing relationship. Let me show you some TikToks we've made.
And so we'd see TikToks of them dragging each other across the floor. I'm not really sure what that subgenre is on TikTok, but you know, whatever. So things that I wouldn't be able to do without 4 parents fully committed. So then Gina is talking about how things happened with Matt, guys. Matt had a heart attack.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Pretty shocking. So he had a heart attack. And Gina is like, we see a flashback to her having dinners, like having drinks with Shannon and Heather. And she's like, you guys, I went straight from New Orleans to Cabo. And then the next morning, had a heart attack. And they're like, oh, that is so crazy. Maybe almost as crazy as Terry having a stroke and driving angrily through Beverly Hills. I guess I kind of did the spousal scary thing first, didn't I? And mine was more wealthy because mine involved a luxury car.
Heather made me laugh with almost every line she said in this episode because she's just so ridiculous. I think she's just so happy to not be in any drama. She's just like, Look at me, fun Heather, reacting to things. And she's never reacting the right way. Gina goes, Matt had a heart attack. And Heather goes, that is so crazy. She could have just heard like, girlfriend. Guys, I found a half off price deal on a Birkin, you know. Wow, crazy.
So Gina's like, I just can't imagine Britt. Like, if you didn't take him to the hospital, like, you saved his life, Britt. Like, if you didn't do that, like, he would be, like, literally dead right now. Britt's like, like, he would be, like, gone. Like, the guy that you live with, that you love, you'd be gone. Not even there, Britt. I'm like, can you just, like, ease up there a little bit, Gina? Like, I think Britt understands what would have happened. She's sitting here in a puddle of tears, and Gina's like, I mean, he would have died, Gina. He would have died, Britt. So,
Literally, I was thinking of Matt dying and I was like, oh my God, like I might have to have a conversation with my kids about their dad dying. And you saved me from having to do that.
Little Gina's selfish ass is like, thank you so much for saving me from having to have a conversation with my kids about their dad being dead. So Gina.
You know, Britt like beast mode down to the hospital and like they had to get like a stent in his heart because it was like 100% collapse. And it was so nice because the hospital wrote on the stent. So it was so nice. He loves a word. Now he has Word Art in his heart, literally. And he was having like a full blown heart attack. And as soon as they got the stent in, like the danger wore down, it was like a good wake up call and he needs to be healthy.
Which was, by the way, really scary. And I was like, feeling my heart. I was like, am I safe? So then Gina is saying like, this is what you realize.
What's a stent? Stent is sort of like Katie's time on the Housewives. It was a stent.
Less stent is what I said.
Oh, bless. I thought you said, what is a stent?
No, it's like the Word Art on his stent. Bless this stent.
So this is like what you realize, like having like a functional family, like that comes into play. Cause like if there was any bullshit between any of that, that wouldn't have been the same thing. Like this crisis was so eye opening to me. Cause like it could be more opposite with Trav and his ex. You know what I mean? Like if he had a heart attack, no one would take him to the hospital. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So Matt walks in, and Gina's saying that this really lights a fire under her to get Travis to his divorce so she can marry him and like take care of the kids in case something were to happen to him. And then Gina's like,
yeah, I got you a gift.
He's like, really? Is this for me? He's like, yeah, I got like real sweet after life threatening situation. So like, look at what I got you. So she's given him like a care package of like a Mediterranean cookbook, a Mediterranean diet cookbook, and like some aspirin. And he's like, great, thanks. Like, I was hoping for a fun care package, but thanks for reminding me of the rest of my life now.
Yeah. So then Hamra, that's Heather and Tamara's couple name, Hamra. Yeah. Heather and Tamara meet up at a restaurant. And they're talking about what the hell happened at the lie detector test. Tamara's like, I couldn't even sleep last night. I'm like, what the hell happened? So much happened. And you know what I was thinking? And Heather's like, well, I've really tried with Katie this year. Really, look at how good I've been to Katie. Do you remember that time I sat down with Katie to try and get information to use to hold against her later? That was just so good of me to do. I've really tried with her, but I just can't do it anymore.
I offered her a job as a housekeeper and she did not take it. So I like that Tamara said that she couldn't sleep last night because she was on a high from adrenaline, which is so Tamara to see someone like run off of a show and like she's like, best night of the year. Like that's like what she lives for, is someone like being the victim of a gang up. Like that speaks to Tamara's villainy right there. So Heather is, she's, sorry, Jen arrives and she's like, hi everyone. I brought stuff. Oh, do we need a cocktail for this? Cause it's just me with my girlfriends. Okay. We can get Cosmos. Okay. Who here is the Carrie? Who is the Samantha? I'll be the Blanche. Like, okay, Heather, it's like, stop trying to be the fun Heather right now. Fun girlfriend Heather.
Let's order something fun. I'm going to have a Paloma. Exotic. Oh, fine. Fruity.
You mean like a tequila with grapefruit? No. Paloma is the name of one of my cleaners, and I was hoping to have a second one. Can we hire another Paloma for the house? No. Okay.
She actually messed up on the laundry, so I was hoping you could pick her up and blend her down so I could drink her DNA.
So they order their cocktails and everything. Well, actually, Jen asks about the strawberry margarita and like the waitress is like, it's delicious. And Heather's like, has anyone ever asked you something and you say, don't get that? God, I'm so fun. Look at me interfacing with service workers in a pleasant way. I have grown.
If you want to see fun, Heather, let me call out a service worker for being the fake bitch that she is.
So she has
a polygraph test, waitress. You guys get that? Because we had a polygraph test last night for 10 days and she failed it.
Come back.
Thank you so much. So I met with Katie, and right when she sat down, she was like, that whole thing was staged.
What? The polygraph was a setup? What?
Yeah. And she's being set up, and she's the one that we're all picking to do this to.
Those people were not for entertainment. Trust me, if they ever tried to get onto TV land, they would not get through the front door. Those are not entertainment people.
So the polygraph people work on TV? Well, guess what? My husband is a world-renowned TV doctor in real life. So do you want to take pictures and put him in your file? Okay, so you're saying the polygraph person is super real? Then what about you lying about paparazzi shots? Because he also said that. Or are we just going to forget all your lies, madame?
Yes, we will. Don't you understand? Okay, so the polygraph people work on TV. They can't be trusted. Well, last time I checked, I was on an episode of Malibu Country with Reba McEntire. Does that mean you can't trust me, television's Heather Dubrow? I think not. Oh, that was good adjudication. So Tamara's like,
well, I don't know anything about that. I've never met these people before.
So Jen was saying how this whole thing was like sort of, it was like a weird interaction. And Tamara's like,
did she say I'm done? Did she quit? Did she run off? God, I wish I could have seen it. Oh my God, my heart's racing so fast right now.
I mean, personally, I wish we'd brought in a gay psychic to reveal this information, but whatever. Different roads lead to different places. Am I right, girls?
So Jen's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to see her and talk about her the whole time. I just want to have a conversation. And I'm glad that you're here because last time she and I sat down, she's like, yeah, it didn't work out, right? It didn't work out. So then we see Jen and Tamara fighting at the restaurant and Jen being like, you're fucking sick.
How dare you call me fucking sick? I could be autistic, miss.
So back to the present. Jen's like, yeah, I guess maybe I place more of a value on our friendship. And now I just feel embarrassed that I ever placed value on that friendship.
Yeah, don't say that. Like, we had some good times. We had really good times. Like, remember the time when I accused your husband of, like, having an affair? Remember the time I called the FBI on your husband? And remember the time I tried to, like, get everyone against you, like, a few different seasons in a row? Remember the time I called the private investigator on your husband? We had so many good times together, Jen.
Yeah, remember when I told everybody that your husband, that your boyfriend wanted to fuck me instead? Yeah, they're so good. We've had some good times together. Come on.
Such good times. So good.
So now Tamara's like,
okay, well, let me just say, I admit that I fucked up. I'm so sorry, Jen. What happened? Okay, everybody listen. Play some violins or something. Tamara's about to open up. Okay. Remember what I said about Ryan? That was a real aha moment for me. It was aha. It was so aha. Hey, guys, that was so aha. That was 9 odds out of 10 odds in the odds. I really aha'd that bitch.
You know what? I started therapy, and I'm deep diving this shit. I don't even want to talk about it, but I will talk about that I'm doing it. And that little girl in me that just gets upset is the girl that fucking lashes out. I got a little girl in me. Her name is Tammy Sue, and she's got hair in the shape of thimble, and she gets mad at people, and I'm mad now. But I'm working on it, babe. I'm working on it.
But you'll do this, and then 2 weeks later, you know, you get backed into a corner, and you're like, what, you're like a fucking aggressor, you know? Oh, are we going to go backwards? I feel like this is going backwards. Rewind to that waitress lying about strawberry margaritas. Let's do that. All right, Knife and Paloma's back. Anybody?
We are going back, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you gotta start changing the pattern because people don't, like, you know, it's almost like crying wolf, you know? It's like,
yeah, things don't go this deep when you don't really care about somebody, and I do care about you.
Which is like the classic thing that, like, awful people on reality TV do. They're mean, and then they're like,
I only act this way because I care. Because if I didn't care, I'd just be indifferent. I care about you so much. The angrier I am at you means the more I care about you. You just make me so angry sometimes. Don't make me so angry.
Yeah. And by the way, you know who else cries wolf? Little girls. Little girls stuck inside a possum face. That's what they do. They cry wolf. They say, oh my God, it's a wolf. And sometimes it's a wolf. And you're the wolf, bitch. I'll get you, bitch.
So Jen has decided to forgive her again. You know, Tamara, who's done all of this stuff, but can't forgive Katie. For
yeah, exactly. Well, this is
set at dinner. So
this episode is definitely the producers trying to be like, no, America, don't worry. Nothing's toxic here. Look, everyone's getting along. Everyone's happy. Everyone's fine. We just ran Katie off the show, but it's fine. Everyone loves each other now.
Yeah. So Jen's decided to support Tamara in her journey of therapy. So just thank you for going there. Thank you so much, Tamara. And they agreed to not do it anymore, and they kiss on the lips. And Tamara's like,
I love you, Jen. I love you so much. Relax, sister. I'm so glad you're happy. I'm so happy now. We're such good friends now. I'm in Jen, just like sisters. Sisters separated the parents, right?
And then Heather, they're like sort of hugging or like clasping each other's like elbows. And Heather takes like a selfie with them in the background. She's like, I'm going to send this to Drake, my neighbor. We'll save these for later to see how it ends up. So then,
this is almost as believable as that strawberry margarita tasting decent.
Does anyone know where Paloma is? She's due at the house at 4 p.m.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Neat, it's Ronit Feldman.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutard. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.